Hello.
Hello. Hey, I go first. I remember how this works.
Should be a gentleman and open the door for me. Or whatever. Let me go first.
Is that... yeah, all right, whatever.
I don't know. Anyway. Hi.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the year-end review gift guide remix or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Unwrapped.
Mm-hmm. Unwrapped, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, you're defocused unwrapped, you're de-wrapped.
Mm.
You're
light wrapped?
You're unfocused. Yeah. I don't know how it works. The boffins, they gotta make those little images that say you did so many minutes of things per year.
Every week I still enjoy that I get like a text expander review or whatever. Like they do the same thing with like weekly, and it's like you saved 1 minute. I'm like, I probably don't need to keep getting this email to remind me that I saved 1 minute of time with my text expander, but thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know where that button is. Maybe it's probably in the email, but it's not the greatest year in review email.
No. I mean, it's just
you don't expand your text, do you? You don't do that.
No, I've got the cheapo text replacements. The we have text expanders at home. Version
the built-in thing that doesn't really work very well.
Yeah, I mean, because my needs are very simple. I'm not doing like a form letter. I'm not like trying to put someone's name in or a path to a file. I'm just, you know, it just saves me a couple extra keystrokes for a sentence or so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you've got Apple Intelligence to finish the sentence for you. Now you don't need any of that.
Yeah. All those things that shipped in 2024 were all good things, and people did a good job with them, and they're all worth my time.
It's always good to ship things. It's never bad.
Never bad. Never. There is no way that it could be bad.
Mm-hmm. Products are good and positive, always.
Mm-hmm.
Except Wikipedia, who is reminding me that they are not for sale with a large green box and some dollar amounts at the bottom right now.
Yeah, they need an unwrapped for how many pop-up banners I've had this year.
I think each year it gets bigger and more aggressive. At least it's green this year. Didn't it used to be like yellow or red?
Mm-hmm. Well, no. I mean, sometimes it's red. They kind of vary it a little just to like throw you off your game, just to make you think, oh no, did I not go to Wikipedia.com? Am I on like whatever the fan wiki is for this topic or something? One of those crap ones.
We do love fan wikis, particularly Shrek.
Mm, yeah, all the good wikis. But, yeah, I don't know. We've got I guess we could do a little year in review here. We've got January 9th, Dumb and Dumber was our first episode of the year.
We kicked off the year with Dumb and Dumber, huh?
I think that's because we recorded that in December, and that's my guess. Oh,
is it because it's Christmas-ish themed?
I think so. It just rolled gently into the new year, and then
we don't know nothing about that anymore. We're very good at scheduling and prompt,
and timely. And then our next one after that was Asteroid City, and that was definitely 2024 because we released that at the end of February, so that was a good one.
So you're gonna read off all the names of the movies that we talked about this year, and it's gonna be like four whole movies and be like, wow, we're really top of our game right now, huh?
So far, we've got two, depending on how you count. one and a half. We've got The Creator, pseudo RM star Los Angeles-F.
Right.
Which was...
That's a movie we watched.
Yeah. Definitely not a how you would do that command line command, even if you were able to remove Los Angeles. But
We're all still trying.
Yeah. And then we did The Super Oscars, which...
Oh, best that episode we've ever done.
That's a classic. I think if people missed the Super Oscars, they should listen to the Super Oscars. Might be our best episode of the year.
All time, maybe.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But
on our Wikipedia page, when we ever get one, it's going to say, what has this podcast contributed to society at large? And it's going to be the Super Oscars.
Yeah, well, and it will be, you know, quite a contribution, really. And then there's Roadhouse 2024 version. There's No Tongue in the Cheek.
You're excited for the two more that they're going to make.
I did not. Was that news? that happened?
I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere that they're going to make two more of those.
Oh, thank God. And then we had the draft of our episodes where we went back through all of our episodes and drafted them into categories. That was a pretty good one too.
So we did a year in review midway through the year.
No, that was a podcast of all time in review. That was everything we've ever done.
Okay, so we did a career in review.
Yeah,
and now we're doing a year in review with our career in review.
Well, that was 10 years from the date from June.
Oh, right. I was like, what? We weren't like canceling the podcast. What was the inspiration for that? I forgot. We had a 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, and so it was 10 years for that. And then now this is just the calendar year. Totally different system, because we get 2 birthdays out of this, basically. We get our June situation and our December situation. And then we had the Fall Guy, which was a disappointment, and Hitman.
Wasn't that bad. Hitman. Well, you know, the movie.
CBB.
The movie left some to be desired, but at the very least, it worked in the way cinema can work when in its best days, where it really brought some people together.
To not talk about the movie?
And or worse. Yeah, I mean, you know, we introduced two friends that were previously friends that had never really become friends, and now they're friends.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I don't really keep track of things like that.
No. Hopefully it all worked out for those two kooky people.
Sure they're on each other's Christmas card list, but you never know.
No. Well, I get the distinct impression neither one of them is Christmas card sending people. My family was not a Christmas card sending family. Was yours?
No, absolutely not. But no. In recent years, with the advent of services like Shutterfly and things, it's become easier. So we now receive a few, which sort of reminds you that you're lazy and you should feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we had one on our to-do list for like weeks. And then we managed to knock one out in about 3 hours, and Amanda's out buying stamps right now. So it'll be late for everybody. But it might make it there this calendar year. Who knows?
Well, that was ambitious.
And it's all like addresses that we got on a list from like 8 years ago. So who knows if it's going to like go to the right places, but whatever.
Yeah, all from the wedding. Nobody moved.
a lot of people have moved and or died and or have just left our lives entirely. But anyway, she's like, after this year, maybe we should make a Google sheet or something so we can keep track of this instead of just like a notebook with different pieces of paper torn out, glued to it or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in awe of people who are that on top of things. Although you'll also find that the people who are that on top of things are always sending you a text message sometime in November and asking if you still live at the same address. And you're just like, yes. And then they don't say why. They're not explaining any of it. And then the answer, of course, is because they're sending a Christmas card again.
The people who get like really professional photos done for those people are monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have decent photography on our phones, you just put a little collage of not terrible photos from your iPhone on there and you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, everybody kind of makes the same thing these days. Like very few people are doing like the, you know, was it like the Sears photo center situation with the felt backdrop thing that they had?
Yeah. Sears, JCPenney. I think our JCPenney, which shockingly is still in business, although it kind of looks more like a JCPenney warehouse than an actual JCPenney. They have a photo center in the back. I'm curious what's going on back there. I don't remember why we went in there one day, but I think it might have just been literally to see what's going on in there and let the child run around for a half hour.
Yeah, the last time I was in a JCPenney was a few years ago. There's a mall in Tampa, West Shore Plaza, and it used to be the good mall back when there was another mall called Tampa Bay Center, which was demolished to be parking for the Buccaneers.
nice.
Yeah, it's that's how you do it, right?
That stadium is like weirdly close to the side of a street. I mean, you can like drive right past it. Like, why is it just like here?
Oh, yeah. It is in a very strange location because it's not just by several major streets that surround it, but also far away from anything that you would want to do. So everyone gets in their cars and then drives there, and it's in an enormous parking lot. Which is not a garage, just like a huge, huge field of nothing, just just desolate land, which is a great idea, by the way. And then, yeah, that's it. They get back in their cars and they drive away. So good job developing that. But anyway, so Westshore Plaza, they had a JCPenney and it will had it this whole entire time. And I was like, well, how is it still in business in this dying mall, Westshore Plaza, that used to be the good mall? And I walked in and I was like, oh, it's like a zombie husk of a place. Like everything is just kind of like, as if you got like large bulk batches of unlabeled items and then put them on a shelf and then said,
but like, ironically, they also have like one size of everything. Like there's like maybe two options if you want, like, you're like, oh, do they have this in my size? Like, no, you can get that in large or small or nothing else. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about yours, but at least ours, it looked like at some point they had ambitions to like revitalize the store. So they took all the old carpet and flooring out. So it's just like concrete now. And they're like, eh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, they better than old carpet.
They did the same thing. Cause it was a, what's his name? Ron Johnson, the Apple store guy, when he was CEO for a hot minute.
Is he the one who made the logo even more plain and then left?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's so, neutered. Like there's no,
sorry, do you miss the 90s when JCPenney had some sort of personality or something?
Yeah, the flair of JCPenney's. No, it is so basically generic when I went in there, and everything just feels so, I don't know, just like
it's sad is what it is. Just feels sad.
Yeah, it feels sad. It's just like, why would I buy this for someone like as a gift? It would make them feel sad to receive it. And I would feel sad for giving it to them. It's just like, I'd rather go to a Marshall's than shop here.
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah. Marshall's is a lateral step from a Ross. Like, that's not...
No. Ross is the bottom, then Marshall's, then TJ Maxx. Top.
I guess, but they're very close together.
And a standalone Home Goods is better than any of the Home Goods that are nested inside of the other stores. That's for sure.
We have our old AMC movie theater plaza. The Barnes & Noble is now a Home Goods. The Ross has been there the whole time. And I think Marshall's turned into a Babies R Us and then turned into nothing.
Mm.
And there was also an Office Max in there somewhere that I don't know what that turned into either.
No, sad. I don't remember how we got on the topic about JCPenney.
We're talking about movies.
Yeah, ostensibly. But so anyway, we did Twisters with Glenn Powell again. And then we did a Rat Pressing Machine, which was our Alien Romulus episode. Yeah. And then this one.
So that's like six movies for the year?
Yeah, depending on how you count.
We're kicking butt. We're doing great stuff. It's just because we're very busy.
Yes.
We're both very, active and a lot of irons in the fires, TBD, release date 2025 kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing I would say is we are busy at different times, which is always interesting, I think. But you kind of have like a certain level of daily activity that is pretty constant because of a toddler. And I do not have that. That is for sure.
It's wild that, you talk about the benefits of working from home versus working in an office and like sort of, you have a segmented life and it's difficult because you can't be at home to help out or whatever. Like I'm here and I enjoy that. But by virtue of the fact that I'm here and I work here and the kid is here too all the time, it means that I'm both always parenting and always working at all times throughout the day forever, which is weird. Every day is the same. And they're not even days. They're just, they continue. I just take a small nap in between.
Yeah. Cause you also, with your work schedule, don't seem to have so much, I would say, like days off.
I get away with just sending a couple of slacks on the weekend. I don't have to do stuff. It's just like, any sort of loss of productivity that I feel internally, it's not really imposed upon me, but anything that I feel like I didn't get that quite where I wanted it to get during the day, I just go do that at 10 p.m. until it's time to go to sleep, which is not healthy, but that's what I do.
No, see, we got to work on that for the new year.
But what do I do? Am I going to like have a hobby? I'm not going to go golfing at like 11 p.m. on a weekday. So like, what am I going to do? How do I fill my time? I just do some more work and get ahead.
But you're not, are you getting ahead? That's my question.
I haven't been ahead in years.
Dan, as your therapist that you pay for, I have to say that trying to get ahead and being up late every night is how you get behind. Because yeah, then the next morning.
I'm not trying to get ahead. I'm trying to just catch up with being behind.
Mm-hmm. But then like that makes you more behind. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, I think that's just life, man.
Mm-hmm. Life is a vicious cycle.
I think that's anything after your 40s. You're just like, well, you know, whatever I get out of it, I get out of it. But ambition is out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's me. I'm trying not to have my bronchial laugh directly into the microphone. Apologies, people. I don't know what I have. It just it sounds bad and gross.
No. Well, see, that's the fun thing, too, is I was sick and now you're sick.
Yeah.
And that's just one of those amazing things is like
I think everybody is sick right now. So everybody is like some low grade level of sick right now.
Yeah. And I mean, it was really nice. We went to see a musical Sunday, that one that if you had asked me on paper if I would care to see, I would have said no. We were sitting there and there was Jason Segel in the row in front of us. And I described this to you and you're like, oh no, he's kind of tall. I hope he's not blocking your view. And I was like, oh no. There's a short old lady constantly coughing right in front of me. So yeah. I'm fine. I could see everything. Maybe I'll be ill forever afterwards, but I can see. No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. Mm-hmm. I think it's just that time of year. It's I went out and I got some immunizations, and then while I was doing that, the rest of my family got sick, and then they gave it to me, and now they're kind of better, and I'm a little worse than they are. But you know, it's just it's a wonderful cycle because it's December, and everyone's gonna demand that we see them because it's the holidays and you see family, and it's like cool. I hope you're excited to get sick today because that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I came to the conclusion that December is not what it once was for me.
No.
And it's actually probably a month that I dread more than anything these days, which is a weird feeling because it used to be my favorite month because my birthday is in December. But now that's actually one of the things that makes it terrible.
It's just too much. It's I made a little text file to myself about all of the things that happened to blindside me about December, because every January I go, wow, December was expensive. That cost like 3 months worth of monies for various reasons. I never saw any of that stuff coming. It's because I always forget. It's like you've got like car insurance that renews and HOA that renews, and you've got vet appointments once a year or whatever. It's like I've got this giant list of like, oh, these are the things that I always forget about until it's December, until I can turn off my work brain and go like, ah, I've got 2 weeks to deal with personal stuff. And it's like, oh, it's all just expensive things. And Christmas is on the list too, obviously, but like it's just, yeah, it's like a half dozen things that always blindside me about December, because you just run headfirst going into like, ah, I'm gonna have a vacation, it'll be nice to take a couple of weeks off. And it's like, no, that's just 2.5 weeks of chores, but at least it's not work chores.
Yeah. No. But did you take your 2.5 weeks off yet?
I don't know. I guess it starts technically tomorrow. I was supposed to be off this week, but that didn't really work out. And well, whatever. We're not really done yet, but I don't know what the plan is, so I don't really know. I will be taking time off. I've just rearranged things.
Okay. That's good to hear, because you deserve it, Dan. You had a long and difficult year.
Well, it's just again with the like it's like the whole December thing and the illness are exactly the same thing. It's like I should just like stop doing all things and rest and get better, but instead I decide to do a little bit of everything poorly and prolong the illness, because you can't just stop. You can't just like take a break from being alive for a while, although that would be cool.
If we were trying to like optimize around things that are impossible, I think I would prefer to just wish for not being sick to put a pause on being sick and to do the other things.
Yeah.
Although
yeah, I guess we should just get that limitless drug from the Bradley Cooper movie.
Yeah.
And that just makes you like super person for a while.
I don't remember. I didn't see it, so I don't know.
I see clips of it on TikTok all the time, and he's very Bradley Cooper doing his very Bradley Cooper thing where he doesn't blink and speaks very confidently and quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a brief theory on the Bradley Cooper matter, which I think I've brought up before, the Bradley Cooperness. I think I haven't fully fleshed this out, but I think Taylor Sheridan is just angry Bradley Cooper. I don't know if you've seen any of the things that Taylor Sheridan like puts himself in, the things that he writes for himself, where he puts himself in the role of like most accomplished and confident man that has ever existed in that field of whatever. He's Bradley Cooper in that same way, except he's the grumpy, sarcastic version who talks crap to people, and Bradley Cooper is the I'm gonna smooth talk, sell you about it. But they're playing the same tune, but like different versions.
Yeah, I have not examined his work for that closely.
No,
because
you don't have thoughts on the Yellowstone finale?
No, I don't. Because
the final season, the abortive final season of Yellowstone.
I don't care.
You're not taking sides with Kevin Costner or Taylor Sheridan?
No, I mean I'm not so much pro Kevin Costner as I am anti Taylor Sheridan. He had that terrible write up that I shared with you years ago, I think two years ago, about how great he is in the Hollywood Reporter. It was last year because it was during the strikes, which was great timing for him. And it was about how he's a genius and doesn't need anybody, and he's got his special ranch that he can afford from all of his Yellowstone money.
Right. But which he then rents back to Yellowstone as a location for shooting.
It's amazing how that works. And so it was just like a wonderful little piece about like what a piece of crap that guy is. And then everything you ever hear about him after that is not like, oh no, that was actually wrong. He's not a piece of crap. It's like, yeah, he is. He's totally one.
But he's also a genius. So
Like what was it? He was in the news the other week for casting himself in Yellowstone as a perfect guy for something, and it was all about what a genius he was or something.
Yeah, he's like the world's greatest horse trainer. Mm-hmm. And he's got the fast talk and I'm always right Bradley Cooper thing, except he's grumpy about it.
Yeah, so I was not I'm just gonna say no to pursuing that, even to find out if I am incorrect in my assumptions.
No,
I'll wait on that one. Yeah.
It's not difficult to understand what he's doing right now.
Yeah, the ego seems a bit much.
Well, you know, sometimes you just got to put yourself in something. We've learned that from Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
Although, yes. Just like imagine if Quentin Tarantino put himself in John Travolta's role, basically. Or Sam Jackson's role. Actually, no, in this case, he would be Ving Rhames because he was the boss of everything. Although he kind of got beat up, so that probably wouldn't work out.
I mean, I think Quentin Tarantino learned a valuable lesson that he should be in as little of his movies as possible.
I don't know that he learned that lesson. I think he just got older and didn't like, you know, doing both things.
Oh, okay. Well, that works out either way.
I mean, I've never seen any evidence where he goes like, yeah, you know, I'm not great in that role. I should find an actor instead.
Oh, no. I don't think he would ever publicly admit that. I just think that he just
decided. You think he has a filter where he knows that there are some things that he should not say out loud? I don't know that he does.
No, I don't think he has a filter. But I guess you're right. There's just no way that he consciously chose to not be in it.
Yeah,
still.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if we're on a downward trajectory, what three movies are you looking forward to watching next year?
Are there three movies being released next year? Do we know?
I have no idea. I don't even know what's, I see things that have recently come out, like whatever Gladiator came out or something, but I don't know what's coming out next year.
No, I mean, I'll tell you, I watched some movies this year that we didn't talk about on the podcast. And
how dare you?
Yeah, one of them we'll never talk about on the podcast, but was definitely interesting, was The Substance. That had a lot going on.
That got so much press, and I knew I was never going to watch it, that I just read the Wikipedia description of it. I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I signed up for the free trial of Mubi, the streaming service that it is available on, and that was the only thing I watched in my 7-day free trial, and it was worth it for that. But it was I don't have plans to eat anything or, you know, have a good time afterwards or anything. Like, it's gonna leave kind of a bit of a meh on your day. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like I've seen clips, small clips, and it definitely seems like gross and a downer and weird.
Yeah, but it, at the same time, it is unquestionably good at what it is doing. It's just that that thing is very difficult for me to watch.
Yeah, I think when I read the description, I go, oh, that's an interesting take on a movie. I can see why that would be appealing, but then
yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. But the
I don't usually do that. It's just one of those movies that I wanted to like. I was tired of seeing so much tangential discourse and not knowing what the hell people are talking about. Why was it on a movie?
They paid for whatever it was, the streaming rights for it.
That's weird.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those services like Criterion Collection where they have a lot of good movies, but
yeah,
I don't know. And then what else did I watch this year that we didn't talk about? Well, there was Wicked. That was actually surprisingly good. I had no feelings about it one way or the other prior to watching it. Am I
correct in thinking that it's extraordinarily long as well?
It is extraordinarily long. And that's another thing about The Substance. Very long. Another reason why we would never cover either one of those on this podcast is just the overall length of these things is long. But it didn't feel like Wicked dragged so much as it just felt like there was a lot happening.
There's a lot of lore, as the kids say.
Yeah, so you just kind of have to sit through. And I know there were complaints like, this is only half a movie and the runtime's longer than if you saw the whole play and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I don't know. Without having seen the play, I'm sorry, without having seen the live musical, I have no feelings about that one way or the other. But yeah, whatever. And then there was Anyone But You, which I guess was technically a last year movie, but I saw it this year. On an airplane.
Oh, that's the Glenn Powell one?
Yeah, the Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney one in Australia, right. For tax reasons. I mean, for love. It was not very good. And then Mean Girls 2024. Okay, so that was this year. I saw that. That was okay. I don't know how you enjoy that without having seen the first one, I guess. And there are parts that you'd be like, well, why am I not just watching the first one? I don't know. But it was interesting. So there's that. And then there was a Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, which was a disappointment. I did not really care for that. 2.5 stars.
Yeah, there was a lot of excitement for that one. And then it was very quiet afterward. And then I forgot it existed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did too, until I saw it on the streaming service and I was like, I guess I should watch it.
Yeah.
And I did.
One of these days I'm going to watch Deadpool and Wolverine because... whatever, I'm a child of the 90s and I don't care if movies are that kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of the Deadpool movies, so I feel like I have to do that first.
Well, I mean, that kind of just depends on how much you enjoy Ryan Reynolds' shtick.
What if I enjoy it only like a little bit, tiny bit? So-so.
Then, I don't know that you'll make it all the way through the movie, but
okay.
It's a lot of him doing his thing.
Okay.
And cursing.
Okay. It can't be worse than Free Guy, right?
It is not worse than Free Guy.
Okay.
But it is different than Free Guy.
Okay.
More violent and cursy.
Okay. Well, I'll try when I find that I have the motivation at some point. But was there anything you watched this year that we didn't talk about on the podcast?
Oh, I doubt it.
In your copious free time, Dan?
I don't know. I'm opening Letterboxd. I'm clicking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing things. This thing has a tab just for like my stuff, right? I can see my activity.
Right.
Oh, I did watch a movie that we didn't discuss. Wait, where's my diary? I watched Renfield. Did we talk about Renfield in the movie on the podcast?
Didn't we do that last year?
September 2023. Yeah, I can see it all. This is how bad it is. I'm looking at Letterboxd and I'm looking at a single screen without scrolling, and it shows me back to September 2023. So for some reason, I was getting a lot of TikTok clips of Mel Gibson movies.
Okay.
One of which being Payback. Did you ever watch Payback in 1999?
No. Nor after that either.
It's, you know, it's like a noir style, like... you know, detective-y, soft-spoken narration into the microphone kind of thing. And I just it's on some streaming service and I popped it on and I watched that. And then I read about it and I read that there was a director's cut and, you know, they fired the director at the end and, like, you know, reshot, you know, 15 different new scenes or something, to make the theatrical version. And then, but then later, you know, 10 years later, I think Ryan Pauly probably posted about the director's cut or something. I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's convenient timing. And that pushed me over the edge to go watch it. And then I watched the director's cut, cause it was on a different streaming service. Oh, it wasn't Pauly, I know who it was. And I just, like, scrubbed the timeline until I saw scenes that were different. And then I watched those scenes. I was like, no, this is worse. The theatrical version was definitely much better. But it was it's an interesting, albeit not aged particularly well, not because of Mel Gibson, 1999 sort of crime movie, especially with, you know, the dark bleach bypass look or whatever and all that stuff. But
yeah,
it's interesting to see, like, the, you know, the last dying hate. It's like Mel Gibson's Logan or whatever. It's like when he's, like, right, he's peaked, but then he's coming down. He's trying something a little bit different, but not really that different. And it was entertaining. I enjoyed it. Like, seeing it again for all these years later. I don't know that this is the kind of movie that you could watch for the first time in 2025 and really get anything out of it. But, you know, that's something I watched on my goggles one night when I was avoiding work or something.
On your goggles. Okay.
Yeah. I don't watch things on TV anymore. I watch them in my goggles.
How much do clothes cost in the Matrix, Dan? But,
I don't know. I still haven't set up. I mean, you know, that's the most annoying thing about the goggles is every time that there's a major OS update, it there's a new version of your, what do they even call it? The persona, the 3D version of you.
Yeah.
And it basically deletes your old persona and says, like, set it up again. It's like, I don't want to do that again. So, this most recent update, my persona is gone and I just don't do it. I haven't gotten it. Sad. There's no 3D version of me. So I don't have a head or clothes in the Matrix.
So if someone contacts you and for a call, you just appear as what?
It just shows my iMessage little image or whatever.
Oh.
Like FaceTime or whatever.
Yeah.
Or it says like DS in a square or whatever it does.
Yeah. But I guess the only person who would be calling you that has a headset would be Adam probably. So
there's a couple people, but yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. I mean, do you think next year the Vision Pro is really going to take off now that it's got it sea legs? From no one buying them.
No, I mean, it astounds me that every time I put it on to do some work stuff, which has been a lot lately, and I see application windows floating around in my space that I can interact with, it's amazing how quickly I've taken that for granted. Like, this is just a thing that exists. But from time to time, I just go, like, I can't believe I'm doing this right now. Like, this is super weird and crazy, but at the same time I don't want to, like, get up and walk around with it or anything, so it's just kind of like I've got all the virtual studio displays I want around me and I can reposition them and stuff. It's still an incredible piece of technology that can do some very interesting things, and, you know, killer app for it coming out real soon, wink wink, nudge nudge, maybe. It'll be out before this podcast comes out, probably. I hope. But no, it's heavy and the battery is still insane that this giant metal brick I have to stick in my pocket to do stuff. But, you know, the technology, it's, you know, keep doing that stuff, hopefully Apple, cause it's cool. But as a device, you know, clamps my head and gets a little warm and, the pass through and the foveation is not great, but, it's cool.
When I did the demo, it was really the sharpness that was bothering me.
Yeah. I mean, because it's, like, sharp where you look, but, like, not around. Like, I didn't realize until recently, like, how much of my peripheral vision I use. Because, like, I wanted to, now that I have a better Apple Silicon computer here, I wanted to just, like, do more, you know, Mac display or whatever in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, and it's sometimes it's better, but, like, it's not the same as, like, just like being able to use my peripheral vision to sort of like see what I'm doing. I don't know. It's just, you feel claustrophobic in there also because of, you know, the light seal, like, windows everything down too. But
yeah, I don't know. I still remember when I did my demo this year and the guy's like, can you, the text is so sharp. You can imagine using it for work. And I was like, no, no, I can't. I don't know if they screwed up my prescription when they calibrated the machine, because I also have like a really tiny prescription for my yeah. eyes. I mainly get like an eye strain issue from my astigmatism and the teeny tiny amount of nearsightedness, but it just was like such a pain in the butt to try to read text in there. It was just like, why would I do this over sitting at my desk with my dual screen monitors? And I know yeah. that the answer is, oh, well, I can take this anywhere and then I have a monitor as big as I want. And it's just like, but I can't read the text as clearly on it. So
I think that might've been a prescription yeah. like, because the text is clear, but like, it's mm-hmm. clear at the sentence you're looking at. Like, you're not going to speed read with this or like looking at large chunks of text or something. But I mean, it's whatever. The thing I get yelled at too is I've got that like extra band that goes across my forehead to like make it more comfortable, and you can use mm-hmm. it without the light seal. But I have an older version, and it kind of keeps it further away from my face. And now every time I put it on, it yells at me about being too far away from the screens, and I have to like jam it down onto my face harder. And it's like, that I should take this thing back off, but whatever.
Oh boy,
I don't.
Yeah. Well, I guess the other trend, other than the Apple Vision Pro this year, that really took off was generative AI for video. So,
yeah, it's revolutionized the way we do stuff.
Yeah, that's why we were able to do this podcast, because you save so much time in your work.
Yeah, day. I mean, right now, I have AI is doing so many things for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all those Will Smiths eating spaghetti at the moment for you.
I forgot that was an example they made.
Yeah.
Was that,
yeah.
that was a Sora?
No, that was something, an older version thing. But somebody
like
at,
Runway or something?
Yeah. Somebody at Ars Technica was testing a Chinese, Gen AI video generator last week. And they posted a video where they asked for Will Smith eating spaghetti, but it's just some guy eating spaghetti. But the,
you didn't say which Will Smith.
No, well, the AI, but the AI is obviously seems to know who people are, but it seems to know to steer away from exact matches to people. But at the same time, it's an AI system that you can download onto your computer with open weights, so you could reprogram it to be whatever you want.
Yeah. I think if you ask for like an image from just like Dolly or whatever of a person doing something, it's like, I can't give you that person, but I can give you something that kind of looks like that person. Is that cool? And you're like, yes. Okay. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I use AI every single day, but that's primarily to write FFmpeg encoding scripts and solve quick Python problems, which it's so good at. Like, mm-hmm. at this point, I barely even double check what it gives back to me. I just copy and paste it and it works. But that's about it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's something else. I ask ChatGPT questions about other stuff, but that's mostly what I do.
You're forgetting regex, Dan. That's the number one use. Is to get it to make regex commands.
I don't have to do that. I kind of mostly understand how to do regex is now.
Wow.
Although sometimes if I get stuck, I'll just like, here's my, I just paste, again, FFmpeg, same thing. I copy and paste that or a regex in there and go like, modify this to do this. And it goes, here you go. I'm like, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. I find it quite handy for that. Maybe one of these days I will learn how to do JavaScript or Swift, but I don't want to, mm-hmm. and I don't even care if ChatGPT can help me with that because I hate it. Mm-hmm. The little tiny bit of Swift that I do interact with, I look at this and I go, how is this a programming language? This is the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I am right there with you. And this is, of course, because we are both people who've had to use Python. And to a lesser extent, Tickle, TCL.
Yeah, but do you remember when you first started doing Python? You're like, this is weird. Like, the white space is important. What kind of weird language is this? And now you're like, why is not everything like Python? Python makes sense.
Yeah.
Except for the Nuke API. The Nuke API is written by some sort of cave person who doesn't understand Python, let alone APIs.
No, that API is just classically bad. From forever ago, and they're never gonna fix it. But
I don't know, man. The yearly you can help improve Nuke survey. One of the questions on it was like a unified new API across Hero and Nuke, and I was like, yeah, do that.
Yeah,
and it sounds like 4 years worth of work. But have at it. See if you can come up with something that actually makes sense instead of dot set value bracket value like whatever.
Yeah,
terrible.
No, and. It's just the way you have to ask for what the knob value is, and then there's another way to set the thing, and it's just like, just yeah, make
the,
it
the knob value is just the position, or like the pointer to the actual value. Then you got to do the value of the value, and it's like, what is this? Can't you just make something that makes sense?
So terrible. But anyway, back to your other point you were making, Swift. No, just so bad. I keep, because I, you know, follow all those Apple developers, and sometimes they post and they're like, oh, I can't believe this thing and the thing. And I look at it and I'm like, wow, like there's a lot of brackets and periods and camel cases going on there. Like, I don't understand like what's going on. Just it, like it, so it all much looks stuff.
Like, it looks like code that's pretending to be code, like for a movie or something. It's like, I look at it and I go like, okay, this is kind of describing like a general feature, but where's the part where it's specific to the thing that you're actually trying to do? I don't, whatever. It's all pieces, which at some point, like, why is it, if you're assembling little Lego blocks of code, like, why are they named this stuff and why are they called? It doesn't make any sense.
No. And then like to your other point about JavaScript, which would be more useful, is just like, it is bonkers. Like every time I've tried to do something with it, like, cause I have my little website thing and I try to work on stuff for it. And it was just like, well, a couple of times I was like, well, I can just do some stuff in JavaScript. And it's like, nope. Cause you see, it does things like return values that are wrong. And like not have errors that are sensical in any way. But I can't deal with it.
No, Airtable is all JavaScript for its automations. And we have Airtable hooked up to our little web app. And I'm just like, hey, Zach, write me some JavaScript that sends me these tokens from Airtable. He's like, yeah, here you go. I'm like, cool. Now I'm in Python and I'm fine. I did forget. There's one other AI thing that I made for work, which basically feeds the entire history of our video production library, like actors and crew and stuff, into like an AI thing as like a big JSON. And you can ask it questions like, what cinematographer shot the most videos 2 years ago or whatever? It'll give you answers like that, which is kind of interesting, but you don't really have those questions as often as you imagine.
You know what you have the opportunity to do now before the end of the year?
What?
Sandwich Unwrapped.
I mean, we always do a year end like post of all the videos that we've made.
I meant for inside the office. You could say like, this cinematographer did the most number of shots, but make like one of those little like gradient, you know, vertical or orientation slides out of it.
Yeah, that's sounds great. I mean, it would be interesting to see that, because honestly, I forget a lot of the things that we worked on immediately after we work on them, because it's just like, all right, on to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, I saw them post about a ad spot that I had worked on for you guys a while ago.
How do you like that they actually found your Instagram handle this time? You're screwed now.
Well, I don't think they did. Oh, okay. I just follow them, but that's fine. So I saw it. I like the post, for the record. But I was just like, wow, that took a while to make it out into the world. I just had assumed that it quietly appeared somewhere.
No, that was one that there were a bunch of deliverables, and then there were alts, and then there was other stuff. And it was just the project continued after your contribution, and then it didn't get released until way later.
Yeah. So anyway, Sandwich Unwrapped, and it even has a good name.
That is pretty good. I don't know if that's what they call the year-end review thing.
That's what they call the Spotify one. Spotify.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But like when they post our year-end, here's all the things we did this year webpage.
Your real one. Okay.
Yeah, I forget what they call that. I don't remember things. I don't have the brain power for that. I act on instinct. So how many AIs have you used this year?
Well, just for fixing regex, and that was
about it. You use the Google? You use the Gemini? Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it's free. So I have Google Gemini, and I'll type in.
There's a free tier of ChatGPT, isn't there?
Maybe. I don't know. All I know is I can just open up a window, go to the site, and type in something. I don't need to like make another account for a thing that I don't want to have. So it just worked fine. Also, I don't like Sam Altman, even though Google's not like good in like a corporate sense, and they trained on stuff from the web in a way that would also be bad. I view regex as fine for that, but the rest of it, no, it doesn't appeal to me. And I find all of the stuff about like generating artwork repulsive. Like the Image Playgrounds thing that finally shipped the other week, All I can do is make stuff that is used to taunt or mock other people, which is not good. Like, that's not sending good vibes out into the world. Like, you didn't like it when I made you just be a head on a mattress, right?
No, I mean, the problem is, I think like all of the images of me for some reason come out looking like the United Healthcare CEO. I don't understand why that's what it thinks I look like.
No, it also does a similar botched thing for me. I don't think that it generates images that look like me at all.
There's like a whisper of you in there, maybe.
Yeah, but it's like the cartoon version. One of the things that it really screws up is the hair. And whenever you do the so-called animation style, which it looks like a knockoff. Yeah, it looks like a knockoff of a knockoff of a Pixar thing. That one, like the hair is like always spiky up and it's like, just match my hair. Like, I have hair in the photo. Like, why would you just try to like smear the facial stuff to be in sort of this? I don't know. It's bad. And it changes based on the seed photo. I thought that they were going to like synthesize like some kind of model of what you looked like, and then use that for, you know, various generations of things. But instead, they just seem to do a completely new head every single time you have a photo, which is absurd. And then the illustration style, which people were like, oh, that one's not so bad. For some reason, I always look angry in it. Like, literally, I'll put a photo of me smiling and it'll just send back a snarling photo of me, a snarling illustration of me. And it's just like, this is weird. Why did you guys do that? And then it'll do a thing where for some reason I look like Norman Osborn. You know, in the original Spider-Man movie, like Willem Dafoe, like someone on Mastodon said, oh, you look like Willem Dafoe. And I mean that as a compliment. I was like, that's not really a compliment, but also not true. But then I just typed in like a blue suit, white shirt, blue tie, park behind. And then all of a sudden,
why is it putting people in suits as an option by default? Like, that's ridiculous.
No, well, the clothing is also bananas, because it's like, if you're generating what my face is doing off of a single photo, why don't you generate what my outfit's doing, like, as the default?
Do they think people are going to, like, use these as, like, social media or, like, LinkedIn profile photos or something?
Well, I think so, because they're delusional, because that's what they thought about the Memoji things. And whenever I see a Memoji from somebody, whenever I see a social media avatar from somebody who's using Memoji, I'm just like, yikes.
They work for Apple, or they're like still in college or something usually.
Yeah, but the thing about those is that the outfits, like, it'll be like, here's you in a vest, and it's like, there isn't a photo of me on my phone that has me in a vest. It doesn't exist.
Well, maybe they're trying to make suggestions and saying you'd look good in a vest.
No one looks good in a vest.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay, who looks good in a vest, Dan?
50 Cent in a bulletproof vest? Does that count?
It's a different kind of vest.
Get rich or die trying, you know what I'm saying there?
Yeah. No, they just have like weird outfits, just like those vests. And then sometimes it'll put you in a like a graphic t-shirt, but because it's AI, the graphic on the t-shirt doesn't actually work. And so you just have like these smeary blocks. And it's like, well, how did that help over just having a plain t-shirt? I don't understand what they're doing with that, and I hope they never do video, because the video would be terrible. But the video coming out of these other companies, like your beloved OpenAI, the Sora thing, is bad. But they're selling it like it's good. So that's good.
I don't know. I made one clip. I need to go back in and make some more clips.
Yeah.
Test it out.
What you really need to do is, the way that these seem to break quite a bit is if you type in something where you ask it to do an activity instead of just be standing still or partially moving or walking. Like, if you tell it like so-and-so eating a bagel or so-and-so shooting a basketball into a net, like it will just barf on the ground, because it doesn't know how to maintain the spatial relationships between those things. Like that clip that was going around about the gymnast who had limbs just like shooting out of her as she was bouncing around the screen.
I'm not sure I saw that one.
Oh, it was, I didn't see it until Ars Technica covered it. And they're like, this has been all over social media. And I was like, well, not my social media, but I'm sure it was all over somebody's social media.
You know, social media has has the snake eating its tail every single day now. My favorite thing, and again, all I do is spend time on TikTok because my brain is already broken. I'm going to break it more. Mm-hmm. Is everyone saying like, I tried the viral whatever thingamabob, and I was like, there's no way this is viral because this is the first time I've heard of it. So you can't manifest viral. You can't say viral first and then make it viral. Like that's, stop it. I hate you. Please stop it.
Yeah.
And now my wife says things like that. Have you seen the viral so-and-so? I'm like, no, I don't know what that is. And it's not viral, so stop it.
I don't know. What if it was viral? What if you're the only person who doesn't know?
I don't think that's the case because I'm extremely online. unnecessarily, generally. Mm-hmm. But actually, I'm not that online. Like, I forget that Blue Sky and Threads exist, you know, 6 out of 7 days a week.
Yeah, I did walk past the store yesterday in Santa Monica on 3rd Street Promenade, speaking of dead malls. And it was, I forget what it used to be. I think it was a Retroland, which is like the vintage clothing store thing. But whatever. Right now, it's this business called Outlandish, as seen on TikTok. And it's a TikTok somehow leveraged shopping experience retail store. And it's like world's first retail based on TikTok or whatever. And I was just like, is this even... I thought about it for like 2 seconds. I was like, is this licensed? If it's not licensed, why are they doing this? And then I was like, I don't care. And I kept walking on the street. But there's a whole store out there where somebody is trying to make you think that there's TikTok shopping you can do in real life, which is a weird choice.
Oh, the whole thing with TikTok shop in particular is a mm-hmm. whole tab in the app where you can buy things. Like, I will never buy anything from a social network, let alone TikTok. But
oh, yeah. You don't want stuff that's just drop shipped to you from someone who never really has any experience using the product?
I don't. Not mm-hmm. at all. But whatever. Like, we've got, T-minus, like, 30 days till it's outlawed. So who cares?
Yeah.
We'll all get our brains back in a month or something, right?
Yeah, well, I forget where I heard it, but I heard somebody, there was some conjecture. It was just like, well, you know who's going to buy it? It's probably going to be Walmart. And I was like, what? And it was like, oh, yeah. And I guess that makes sense. If people think of it as a shopping opportunity, then you could just have some unscrupulous merchant buy it. But it's probably going to be private equity.
I feel like Walmart is probably not in the mood to deal with all of the legal ramifications of running that social network.
Well, they could just like claim they didn't know and then just shut down things they don't like. I don't know.
It's a can of worms. It's more effort than it's worth.
Yeah. I mean, they always try to make these tech plays, though. Like when they bought Vudu, VUDU. Remember when they were the only people who you could get your ultraviolet Blu-rays redeemed with for a while?
Yeah. They're also the currency. Digital wallet people, right?
Is that a pun?
That was the name of their product, Current C.
Oh, God.
It was like a competitor for Apple Pay, except it was like QR codes and extremely insecure.
That's...
Did you remember that? Was that Walmart?
No, I mean, that could have been.
Current C. Current. Current C. Currency. Wow, I can't, how do you even like Google this?
So bad for SEO.
Current-C, is that what it was? Current camel case C. No, that's not it. That's the company that sells currents.
Are you sure someone didn't just like take your money, Dan?
Oh wait, Current C is big retailers' attempt to kill Apple Pay and credit card fees. Spearheaded by Walmart. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, great. Well, is it another
customer exchange?
They deserve another failed technological boondoggle. Let them do it.
Yeah, it was literally like the way you get like Starbucks points or whatever. Like you pop open a QR code on your phone and they scan it. Like that's how you pay for things. It was done over like public Bluetooth also too. So it was like completely insecure. Anyway,
I hate QR codes. I mean, not like I understand why they exist. But there are people who use them in places where they should not be using them, and it bothers me.
At least now you can take a picture of something and then like click on it later. Like you don't have to do things live like a maniac.
No, that was tough during the pandemic when you go to a restaurant and be like their only QR code menu, and you'd be trying to like get the lighting just right so that you could tap on it, but you couldn't like move your phone while you were doing it. Otherwise, you'd lose the little yellow tag that would show up.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of restaurants, mm-hmm. since we've covered most of the defocused typical topics except food, again, I don't go anywhere except TikTok, but we have one of them Elefante restaurants here now, which looks really nice.
They have one of those on Second Street in Santa Monica.
It looks good. I see all of the food influencers doing like videos where they like stir the food in a way that you would never do if you're like actually going to eat it and like present it to the camera. I was like, all right. I mean, I would enjoy eating some food, but this is a bad video. Thank you for letting me know that that exists, though.
Well, it worked on you, though. Now you want to go to Elefante.
I mean, I think we wanted to go even when it was in Santa Monica, but we don't go to Santa Monica because we don't live in LA or Santa Monica.
No, I mean, I don't really, I would not go to Santa Monica if it were up to me. But yeah, Main Street Santa Monica is not so bad. That's the downtown Third Street area is bad.
Wait, where is downtown Santa Monica?
Well, the Third Street promenade area? Uh-huh. Like that whole part, that part sucks. But
but where's the good part?
Santa Monica Main Street.
Where's that?
It's by where the border with Venice is.
Oh, down there.
Yeah.
Wait.
So you basically just walk from Santa Monica into Venice and then vice versa.
Isn't that... am I thinking of the right road? Like, where is Abbot Kinney related to that?
That connects, but it's perpendicular. Well, Abbot Kinney's kind of on an angle, but it mostly perpendicular.
I think I know what you're talking about, but it has been a very long time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I just want to go to Venice because there's a glasses company there that sells some cool frames that I want to try on. I'm not gonna do the thing again where I buy a $500 pair of frames with no lenses just to be mailed to me so I can try them on just so I can return them to be mailed back. Like I'm lazy, but I'm not that lazy anymore.
I didn't realize you'd ever done that. Most people don't do that.
I think the frames that I'm wearing now, there's literally nowhere in Arizona that carries them, or there wasn't at the time. And I was like, I just really want to try these on. And I emailed them. They're like, yeah, just buy them. Don't break them and return them. I was like, yeah, that's like $900 worth of glass. All right, fine, whatever.
Wow.
But I tried them on and I was like, I kind of like them, but the wrong color. And then I saw them in person at a store locally, like 6 months later, and a different color. And I was like, yes, I will buy these now. Thank you.
Okay.
Good story, right?
That's an amazing story. Also, yeah. To go off of that, one thing I did do this year is my old prescription, speaking of my glasses, I got a new prescription and I got it. I did the Warby Parker thing because everybody's like, Warby Parker, great, blah, blah, blah. And they had free, you know, whatever when you go in, like so for your optometrist appointment in the back. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fine. I'll do it because you can do it online. I don't need to call up a doctor's office and tell them anything.
Very efficient if you like the offerings that they're offering.
Yeah, but then it turned out that I bought the glasses and I was just like, oh, these aren't as nice as my old glasses that weren't Warby Parker, but they don't do replacements on those glasses, so they only just sell what they sell in the store. And I was just like, oh, that's a bummer. And then...
Wait, you were replacing what with what?
My old glasses, I was like, I had also wanted to get the lenses on those replaced, but they don't do that.
Those were from Warby Parker?
No, they were from Century City optometrists, but I'm not going to go to Century City. Just, you know, on a whim.
Yeah, you basically can't find anyone to just put new lenses in old frames anymore. Like, they're like, we could do it, but it costs like 80% of what it would cost to just buy a new pair of frames, so you should just do that.
I know, it's a real bummer. Because they were nice ones. They were Barton Pereira frames, and I really like them. But they're the... they're rimless on... Not completely rimless, but they basically have like a little thin piece of metal that holds the bottom of the lens in. And that part, it didn't do particularly well. So on several occasions, the lenses popped out on either side. And the lenses got chipped around the edges. So it didn't look... very nice if I were to wear them, but they functioned as glasses. But the frames themselves were very nice.
Yeah, I have a similar version of the same thing, except my lenses don't fall out. My glasses just fall off of my head.
Oh.
Because the thing that goes over my ear is kind of straight and doesn't curve down behind my ear. And I have a fat head, so they're loose. And if my hair is longer than the day I got my haircut, if I just look down, they will slide off my face.
Oh.
Drives me insane. Because I, you know, who looks down, especially when you're chasing around a 2-year-old? Doesn't happen to me 15 times a day.
You should get one of those little pieces of rope that goes and connects the back of the...
The little elastic thing
from
the 90s or whatever. Or the one that has like the bead where you like cinch it up behind you and it dangles like a ponytail behind you.
That would be great. I think that would really help.
Honestly, it would. I would probably be less aggravated by my glasses. Mm-hmm. But I just want to get a new pair of frames that are a slightly different style and actually stay on my head.
Okay, so for the end of this podcast, we've decided that neither one of us are 100% satisfied with our glasses, even though we have both had glasses stuff. And we'll try to do something better about that in the new year. We'll try to have better work-life balances. Maybe Dan will work less and Joe will work more. We'll try to align those schedules a little more lined up-ish.
Hey, we're still here. Mm-hmm. And I think persistence is really the most important part of the game. I don't know what game, but I think it's a long game, whatever it may be. And you keep playing long enough, eventually you'll figure out what the game is, and then maybe you can win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Winning is half the battle. No, that's not right. Anyway.
Literally just refusing to leave, I think, is most of the battle.
Yeah. Yeah. Just declare yourself the victor.
We're still here.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do about that?
Yeah.
People who are, you know, ostensibly battling against us for some reason.
Yeah. Why don't you just give up?
Yeah.
Cave in. Kinda. Yeah. Not us. We're 100% committed. 110% committed. 200% committed.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we're not quitters, basically. We're willing to put in the minimum amount of effort to technically continue this thing as a thing.
Does that make us 100% committed?
No, it just makes us not committed.
But, that's what I'm trying to figure out. What percentage?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
we can't reveal that.
But at what percentage would we be quitters? Because if you're not
committed, you're a quitter.
But if you're committed 50%,
it's binary. It's you're either committed or you're not.
So it's not a percentage.
I mean, there might be a percentage, but we don't want to reveal that to our haters. They could take advantage of it. Spot some sort of weakness.
We have a strategic advantage to withholding the percent of our commitment.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just saying words, man.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
TGIF.
Mm-hmm. Gonna have some fun. Show you how it's done, TGIF.
No, I'm gonna sit in a chair and stare at a wall for a little while.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.